title is, Will Jesus Find Us Watching? Do we decide we got it in the other book?
We don't have it in this
book. Okay.
We have the chorus.
And but your kids know it. We'll sing it. Let's sing the first verse and see how we're going to do. When Jesus comes to reward his servants, whether it be noon or night, singing, are you? All right. Request. For what?
But before we do that, I would like to just have a little testimony here.
Do that. It's your time.
Tomorrow's Valentine's Day. And
gotta be careful now.
About 2,000 years ago, there was a Valentine that was sent to every one of us by a Heavenly Father that loves us so much. And about 26, 27 years ago, I finally accepted that Valentine. And it was the greatest thing. I mean, it was a Valentine, a Christmas present, a birthday present, and all rolled into one. And my life has never been better, and it's never been the same. I just am grateful that God did that. As we were coming, I was thinking, roses are red, violets are fine. I've sent my son that you could be mine. Hallelujah.
Sounds original.
George,
what was the song you had, that number? I didn't get it right. Four something.
There's two of them. It's 448 or 449, I guess.
What's 449? Play a little bit.
449.
There it is. This is George's selection. I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love in me. On the cross of Calvary, from the curse to save me, to sing of my Redeemer with his
thank you.
I appreciate that harmony. Doing a good job down here. Next one.
I have a testimony. Just last week, I was planning going down to Indianapolis and drive by myself, which I thought was kind of boring. But God decided that he would let me fly instead. The way it worked out is about a few weeks ago, I emailed Justo Kilman and asked him if he knew anyone that was driving down there so I could ride with him. And he gave me a name of someone, and I called him up, and they said they were flying. And I said, well, I don't have the money to fly, so I guess that doesn't work out. And then I was going to be going down to Indianapolis on Wednesday, and on Monday, Justo emailed me and said, hey, you should give them a call. They might be able to work out a deal. So as it turns out, the guy is an airline pilot, so he can get rates cheap, you know, 10% of the price. And so he worked out, so I was able to fly with him. It was only 10% of the price, so $100 round trip, you know, not very much. So that worked out so I could fly and save a lot of time and fellowship with Christians and such.
Good.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
It goes before us. Another testimony or a request? Oh, yeah, hand up here. Sorry about that. You don't stick up very far, see?
Shout out to the Lord.
Huh?
Shout out to the Lord.
Yeah. Okay. Who's gonna lead this? Huh? You're talking, but I'm not hearing. Okay. We'll have Shout to the Lord. George, you know that one. Sing it.
Let's start with Shout to the Lord part.
Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hand. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have.
Standing and turned to number 300, unless you had a request. Somebody said they had a request here. What was it?
Page 30.
Huh?
30?
Number 30. That sounds familiar. And away we go.
Thank you.
sure I can do this one very good. Songs you didn't know. And now we're getting even. Have we got the nerve to try that again? There was some people starting to enjoy that in the worship back there. And I wasn't doing very much, but trying not to get caught up in the wrong line here.
Sing hallelujah.
It isn't long ago that we were leading here, and somebody suggested 375, and she's not here tonight, but I wrote it down thinking she might be, and her name is Dorothy Burton. And so when you see her, you tell her we sang her song. You do that? I'll fly away some glad morning when this life is o'er. I'll fly away. It's a promise. It's an absolute. You keep in mind the song that you want to sing, and if you don't have one, quick. Just do it.
Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away through the
somebody and you look concerned. Tell me about it while you're still standing. Who's going to fly away? I heard George told my story when I wasn't here a week or so ago about the people who wanted to go to heaven. Did you hear it? No, they didn't hear it. It was Sunday school class, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Do you want to go to heaven? Everybody want to go to heaven? Well, I told the story to George, and George told the story to the Sunday school, and you heard it. But it was this guy out on the prairie. There wasn't too many people in church on a Sunday night. And the pastor said, "Who wants to go to heaven? Stand up." "Sit down." Everybody's sitting down here. You might as well all sit down. "Who wants to go to heaven?" And stand up. And everybody stood up, but one old guy in the back. He's getting up again here. Just one old guy didn't sit. He said, "Sir, I can't help but notice. There's just one man sitting down. Don't you want to go to heaven?" He said, "Now, could I ask that question?" "Well, yeah. Can I come up front?" "Yeah." So he came up front, and he pulled out 2 6 guns, and he pulled the hammers back. And he said, "Anybody want to go to heaven? Stand up." It ain't funny, is it? We all want to go to heaven. Nobody in a hurry. You don't have a selection for song, do you? Time's up. Oh, got one. What is it? That's a good one.
My Jesus, my lovely, I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Creator, my
songs, and you've done real well, helping me along with all of them. Thank you.
Turn in your Bibles this evening to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verses 16 through 18. Last week's message on the rapture has raised a lot of questions, and in 2 weeks, two Sunday nights from tonight, it'll be the last Sunday in February, I want to answer some of the common objections to the rapture, such as, what about Matthew chapter 24? And isn't the rapture a doctrine that was started in the 1800s? And a few of those kinds of things. So if you have questions on it, hopefully we'll answer some of those questions in 2 weeks. But tonight, John chapter 14, the title of the message is The Other Jesus. The Other Jesus. I want to thank Jill Burton for sharing her roses with us. It's a blessing. They look beautiful up here. John chapter 14, verses 16 through 18. John chapter 14, verses 16 through 18. Jesus speaking in all of these verses. He said, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also." Actually, I read an extra verse there. Let's pray. It's hard to know when to stop. Father, we thank you for your word this evening, and we thank you for the Comforter and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we pray that, Holy Spirit, you would be here tonight and ministering to these, your people, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to share with you a basic precept to victorious Christian living. My inability to do anything for myself in the spiritual realm. My inability to do anything for myself in the spiritual realm. Repeat that with me if you can. I know it's kind of a mouthful, but my inability to do anything for myself in the spiritual realm. Memorize that statement. Believe it. Until we realize and acknowledge this truth, we are going to meet with repeated failure. Until we realize that I can do nothing for myself in the spiritual realm. For this reason, God gave us the Holy Spirit. God knew that we wouldn't be able to do it for ourselves. And so he sent the Comforter. He sent the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. He is God's gift to every believer. Before Jesus went to the cross, he gave us this promise, the promise to his followers to offer us as well. John chapter 14 and verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I can only imagine what that must have meant to the disciples. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And in fact, the Greek word there is orphanos. He's really saying, I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you as helpless orphans, but I will come to you. Jesus knew that his disciples would be unable to do anything for themselves in the spiritual realm. Therefore, he promised to do something that would fill the void that would be left by his departure. He would send the Holy Spirit, who would then be to them everything Jesus would be to them if he were physically present. Think about that. The Holy Spirit would be to the disciples everything that Jesus could be to them if he were physically present. You know what that means tonight? That means that the Holy Spirit who's been poured out upon us, would do everything for us that Jesus would do if he were physically present with us. That is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. That word another to me is very important. Another comforter. Jesus being the first comforter, he said the Father will give you another comforter that he may abide with you how long? Forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And that is a great thought at the end of that verse, and shall be in you. Not that he just dwells with us, but that he is dwelling inside of us. He's in us. Then he said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you as orphans. But I will come to you in the form of the Holy Spirit. Now there are two Greek words for the word another. One of the Greek words means one of a similar but of a different kind. Another of a different kind. The other means another of the same kind. And the word that Jesus used here was the word for another of the same kind. Jesus is saying to his disciples, I will send somebody. I will send the Holy Spirit. I will send another comforter. I will send another who's the same kind as me, made of the same stuff as me. I will send you another comforter. I will send you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the other Jesus. The other Jesus. Notice that Jesus said the Holy Spirit would dwell with them, would remain with them. So the Holy Spirit will remain with you and be in you. In Psalm 51, David prayed and said, Lord, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. We don't pray that prayer in the same kind of way that the psalmist prayed it. Yeah, we pray it, Lord, take not thy Holy Spirit from me, because we fear losing the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and that could be a real concern. But you see, in the Old Testament, they prayed that because the Holy Spirit would come and go. The Holy Spirit would fall upon a person and use that person for a specific reason, and then it would leave that person again. But Jesus is making the statement here that the Holy Spirit will come upon you and he will abide with you. He will stay with you forever. No more of this coming and going business. He will be in you and he will remain in you. The Holy Spirit is the permanent possession of the believer. Since Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes within men and women permanently. I think it's significant that the word for spirit, pneuma, means breath or wind. The Holy Spirit is the breath of God, or the Holy Spirit is the wind of God. There's always movement, there's always energy associated with the Holy Spirit. In fact, every time you find the Spirit in Scripture, you find life, and you find energy, and you find activity. The Holy Spirit is not one that sits back idly doing nothing. The Holy Spirit is involved. There's energy. There's activity. There's life. The Holy Spirit brooded over the chaos of Genesis 1 and made it a cosmos. The Holy Spirit brooded over Mary and brought forth the Messiah. The Holy Spirit brooded over the grave of Joseph and resurrected Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit brooded over a bunch of weaklings in the upper room and turned them into the most powerful band of witnesses. And that's a term we used to use a lot. We don't use it too much anymore, brooding. The Holy Spirit broods. Kind of when you think of brooding today, you think of somebody that's in a bad mood. They brood. But that's not what it is about the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit broods, he's there, he's involved, he's giving his energy, he's giving life. He's making activity. And I want you to know that the Holy Spirit is brooding in our midst. The Holy Spirit is brooding in your life. He's hovering over you, wanting to give you life, wanting to give you energy, wanting to give you supernatural spiritual strength. He is busy in your life. Have you ever noticed the difference in the disciples after Pentecost? I mean, these were a complete different group of people when you consider before Pentecost and after Pentecost. They were not the same men. Before Pentecost, they were fearful, hesitating, unbelieving, suspicious of each other. After Pentecost, they exploded with courage and boldness and confidence. A new capacity for believing descended upon them. These were the ones when they saw Jesus go to that unfair trial after he was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. Nobody spoke up for him. Nobody said a word. Later on, they were not afraid to suffer for the name of Jesus. It was a complete different group of people. I don't know how many of you have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I hope you're a different person since you received that. If you're not, you know, you haven't really grown in that experience. And I would challenge you to seek more in that experience. Because with the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes a power that is unbelievable. Comes a change that is so complete that it makes people marvel. They said of the disciples, "These men have been with Jesus." They were untrained, uneducated men. When they saw the change about in them, they said, "Truly, these men have been with Jesus." They became as one body. They beat as one heart. They thought as one mind. I'm going to have to do something to get your attention tonight. This ping pong ball we're going to let represent ourselves. This ping pong ball is you, okay? Your life without the Holy Spirit is pretty uneventful. I thought I had an extension cord here. What? I thought I had an extension cord there. Maybe not. Okay. Your life without the Holy Spirit is pretty uneventful. It's not very exciting. There's not much activity. But when you let the Holy Spirit lead your life, things move in a hurry. And we're going to let this ping pong ball represent ourselves, and we're going to let this hair dryer represent the Holy Spirit in our life. And so what we'll do is we'll turn this hair dryer on. Notice that when we rely upon the Holy Spirit, things really begin to fly. Things begin to move. We are soaring in the Spirit. The Spirit lifts us up. And you know the great thing about serving God? Whoops. That wasn't supposed to happen. Maybe I got this too high. We could soar higher than that with the Holy Spirit. The great thing about the Holy Spirit is that He is able to do more than we could even ever imagine. Now, why is this? I practiced it at home and never dropped it once. Let's try this again. You're not blowing on this or anything, are you guys? Maybe I'm moving too much. Well, it's hard to talk. There we go. I just got to watch the ping pong. There's a good lesson there. You have to watch the Holy Spirit, right? He'll take you in all kinds of directions. And it's never dull. It's always exciting as the Holy Spirit leads us. See, the great thing about being led by the Spirit is that the Holy Spirit can do things that we would never imagine He could do in our lives. He'll lead us in ways that we would not expect. He would use us in ways that we would think, I can't possibly be used in that way. But it's all because we let the Holy Spirit lead us. Young people, I want to challenge you. You probably got some plans and ideas for your life, but plug into the Holy Spirit and you'll fly to higher heights than you ever thought possible. He'll take you to places that you haven't dreamed of. He'll do things that you cannot even imagine, and that's some pretty incredible things. Plug into the Holy Spirit. He is the one that's giving us the most wonderful life. He leads us in one direction, and then he changes it, and we go another direction. You know, we never get bored when we're living a life full of the Spirit. When we are walking in the Spirit, we never will get bored. If we're bored, it's because we have not yet learned to walk in the Spirit. We have not relied upon his leading and his guidance like we should. Now, acknowledging the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit is the key to living victoriously. Acknowledging that presence and that power within us is the key to living victoriously. On the day of Pentecost, the crowd asked Peter for an explanation of what was happening. Are these men drunk? What's going on here? This doesn't make sense. Peter simply acknowledged that it was the work of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. These men are not drunken as you suppose, but rather these men are filled with the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of the living God. Writing to a group of Christians who were living defeated lives, Paul said, 1 Corinthians 3:16, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" I mean, how can you live a defeated life when you really think about that? The Holy Spirit, all of his power and all of his anointing, all power of heaven is available to you, is in you. You grasp that truth. You cannot live a defeated life. And then as a cure for their immorality, Paul again reminds them of the Spirit's indwelling presence. He says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" The meaning is very clear. Failure to constantly acknowledge the Spirit's presence and power in our lives is to live in sin and defeat. To acknowledge the Holy Spirit means to yield to his sovereign will in every area of our life. Remember, we can do nothing for ourselves in the spiritual realm. It has to be by his Spirit. And so I want you to challenge yourself tonight. Are you living that victorious Christian life that the New Testament talks about? Is your life exciting? Do you feel yourself being lifted up by the Spirit's presence and power in your life? Or are you sitting on that hairdryer, not going anywhere? Life is not much exciting. There isn't much to it. It's the doldrums. It's the same thing, day after day after day. I pray that you will turn on the hairdryer, turn on the Holy Spirit in your life, and let the Spirit lift you up higher and higher and higher. It's a choice that we have, but it all begins with that very basic premise. Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing." Without him, without the Spirit, his Spirit working in our lives, we will accomplish nothing. And so the key to remember is that the Holy Spirit is the one who gives us life. He is the one that gives us energy. He is the one that lifts us up. And the Holy Spirit is brooding over each of us tonight because he wants to take us to higher heights. He wants us to go to deeper depths. And my prayer is, Lord, let your Spirit hover over us and brood over us until you're able to accomplish what you want in each and every single one of us. Can I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this evening? Could I see your hands again? Those of you who have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, could I see your hands again? Now, that's most of you. You can put them down. There's a few of you that were not able to raise your hand. We'd like to give you that opportunity tonight to receive the baptism, the power that comes with it. There's a bunch of people here that would love to pray for you. They'd love to see it happen in your life because they know the excitement because it's happened to them. These good gifts we want to share with one another. But before we do that, are you plugged in to the Holy Spirit? Those of you that are saved, and maybe then it's those of you who have went further in that, received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Is it still exciting? Are you still letting the Holy Spirit lead and lift you up? Every once in a while, we need to stop and think about that. We need to remind ourselves, is it still as exciting as it was the day I received him? If not, why don't you take this opportunity tonight to ask the Lord to meet with you in a special way? If you're struggling with sin in your life, remember, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're the temple of God. You've been bought with a price. You're not your own. You've been bought and paid for by blood, the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for that precious gift, the gift of life. Thank you for your blood that purchased our salvation so rich and free. And Lord, I pray tonight that we would have a meaningful time in your presence. Holy Spirit, brood over us tonight and accomplish what you want in each life. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing that chorus first of all. Know ye not, know ye not, ye are the temple. Not know ye not, ye are the temple. Know ye not, know ye not, ye are the temple. Take our songbooks and sing "The Comforter Has Come," and I want you to respond on this. If you've not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you'd like to be prayed for tonight, why don't you come and stand up here? Or maybe you just feel the power is not in your life like it should be, and you want to ask the Lord for a special touch. Why don't you make your way to the altar tonight? We'd like to pray with you. 513. spread the tidings round wherever man is found, wherever human hearts and human woes abound. Let every Christian tongue proclaim the joyful sound, the Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise in. Oh, spread the tidings round wherever man is found. The Comforter has come. The long night is past, the morning breaks at last, and hush the dreadful wail and fury of the blast. As o'er the golden hills the day advances fast, the Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise given. Oh, spread the tidings round wherever man is found. The Comforter has come. Oh, the King of Kings, with healing in his wings, to every captive soul of woe deliverance brings. And through the vacant cells the song of triumph rings. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise given. Oh, spread the tidings round wherever man is found. The Comforter has come. We're going to be on the last verse now, so if you want to come, pray to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Pray for a special touch, a special anointing, a deeper walk with the Lord. These altars are open. Please come. Last verse.
This love divine, thou shalt come abide, to wandering mortals tell the matchless grace divine. And once a child of
a place of prayer. Consider yourselves dismissed, or just sit there if you'd like and sing along with the choruses, whatever you'd like to do. As many people like to come and pray, please do so.